Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you. I have never disobeyed your command, and yet you have never even given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf for him?" Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to see ourselves more clearly in the light of your grace and love. Teach us from this familiar story once again. Send your Holy Spirit upon our hearts. May we hear your voice this morning. We ask it in the name of your most precious Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. The doctor came to her hospital bed and motioned directly to Arlene's left arm and said, "Whose arm is this?" Arlene responded, "It's not mine." The doctor asked again, "Whose is it?" Arlene said, "It's my mother's." "How on earth does it happen to be here?" exclaimed the doctor. "I don't know. I found it in my bed," came the reply. "How long has it been there?" "Since the first day. Feel, it's warmer than mine. The other day, too, when the weather was colder, it was warmer than mine." "So where's your left arm?" At this, Arlene makes an indefinite gesture forward and says, "It's under there." "And this arm, whose is it?" "It's my mother's. It's pretty warm. I found it here." She forgot it when she was discharged from the hospital. Arlene suffered from dysfunction in the right hemisphere of her brain, which controls the left side of the body and also sees things to the left. After treatment that stimulated the right side of her brain, she was able to recognize her own arm. This example comes from a research study cited in a book by a leading neuropsychiatrist called The Master and His Emissary. It's a comprehensive look at the different functions between the right and left hemispheres of the brain and how those differences actually have impacted history, philosophy, religion, culture, politics, and worldview. This example illustrates the integral role that both parts of the brain play in proper functioning in the world. It is the left brain that can recognize an arm. It's the right brain that puts it all together and connects the arm as part of Arlene's own body. Both perspectives are needed. Recognizing that the thing is an arm is good, but then recognizing that it's my arm is also necessary. Both parts of the brain perform vital roles working hand in hand. But isn't it also interesting to see what the left brain, lacking complete information, will convince itself of? In this case, a story is created saying that the arm is Arlene's mother's and it's been placed in the bed with her. The left brain is good at rationalizing and convincing the self of things that aren't necessarily true, but it will even make up things to justify the false supposition. "The arm's warmer than mine," Arlene said, rationalizing from her left brain. I want to consider this morning how we are complex personalities with great depth and multiple parts. We say we have parts sometimes, right? Part of me wants to do this, but part of me doesn't. Paul says this exact sort of thing in Romans chapter 7. He says, "Sometimes I do the things I don't want to do, and other times I don't do the things I want to do." It's as if Paul is saying, part of me wants to do it and part of me doesn't. So, for example, it's Lent, and I'm fasting from certain foods. When I see those foods, part of me really wants to eat them because I enjoy them. But part of me does not, because I have made a vow before God, a self-discipline of fasting. Sometimes a part of me can become convinced of some false supposition and justify and rationalize it. The extreme example is Arlene. Other times, part of me can miss something altogether that another part of me can perceive clearly, if I will just give it the chance. Consider the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. Murray's character, Phil Connor, has to relive that day over and over again. It's Groundhog Day in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. What Phil comes to discover is that he can do whatever he wants, and there are no consequences. Whatever he does is lost. Even if he dies, he just wakes up again on Groundhog Day. Think about it. If you could do whatever you wanted, and there would be no consequences whatsoever, just start the day over again, what would you do? What would you do without fear of consequences? Phil Connor starts by indulging himself. First, he punches the really annoying, nerdy insurance salesman in the face. Then he pursues lust and gluttony. He even kidnaps the groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil. He just wakes up, relives Groundhog Day all over again. But in the end, Phil Connor realizes that this is all pretty meaningless. He tires of self-indulgence. And he learns to find fulfillment in pursuing higher values. It's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. But what I want to point out this morning is how there was a part of Phil that thought what he wanted to do was to live each day with self-indulgence, and it seemed good at first. But there was another part of Phil, a deeper part, that realized there was something more to life. And so we come to a familiar gospel story this morning, the prodigal son. Part of the prodigal son thought that what he really wanted, what would really be best for him, would be to get his share of the inheritance now and go off and have a good time. The text said he spent it in desolate living. The Cambridge English Dictionary defines desolate as immoral, showing a lack of good character or morals. The Greek word has the connotation of debauchery. The desolate living of this son was much like Phil Connor and Punxsutawney at first, self-indulgent, without a care to consequences. What struck me in this parable of Jesus this time was that phrase, he came to himself. After he squandered it all, after he hit rock bottom, after he, a Jew, is left to feed filthy pigs and longs to eat the crap that they're eating, then Jesus says this curious phrase about him, but when he came to himself, he came to himself. What does that mean? How does a person come to themselves? I checked the Greek, and it's literally what it says. Wasn't he already with himself? How did this experience cause him to come to himself? It seems to me that what Jesus is offering us is a keen insight into the complex human personality, a wise observation about the nature of human beings created in the image of God. When I live life without a thought to my Heavenly Father, instead just focused on what I want, there is a part of me that is forgotten. There was a part of the prodigal son that wanted desolate living, but there was another part, a forgotten part, a deeper part, a nobler part. This deeper part was the part most clearly bearing the image of God. And deep down, that part knew that there was something better, a higher, greater purpose to life. But in the heat of the moment, in the face of temptation, that part was forgotten. And it took coming to the end of his rope, hitting rock bottom in desperation, for him to recover that part of himself. He came to himself, his true self, his deeper part, his soul. His soul knew that where he belonged was home with the Father. It was the desperate circumstances that helped him realize it. And then he rises, and he returns home a humbler, repentant man. And he seeks his Father's forgiveness, and he plans a speech to beg for a chance just to be allowed to live on the estate like one of the hired hands. Here is the son who's not been able to wait until his father dies, instead going to him and basically saying, Father, I wish you were dead. Give me my inheritance now. And here's this son who didn't care about the father. He didn't want to be with his father. He didn't want to work on the estate. He just wanted to focus on himself and pursue his own desires. This callous, rebellious son disgraced his father in the eyes of the community and brought shame to the family name. And he comes home starving to death to plead for his life. And everyone listening to Jesus in that culture is thinking, oh boy, this is going to be good. This terrible son, he's really going to get it now. The father is going to lower the boom. He's going to get the revenge and teach this wayward, shameful son a lesson. But surprise, the father is watching for the son. He sees him coming from afar, and he gets so excited to seeing his son in a most undignified manner. He pulls up his robes, and he runs to his son. The father's not looking for revenge. He's not looking to exact punishment. He comes in love. This is his son, the son who was lost, the son he hadn't heard from, the estranged son has returned. And the Father is overcome with love. He doesn't even give the Son a chance to complete his little speech he's prepared. The Father exclaims, "He who was lost has been found. The Son who was dead to me has come home alive." The Father cares about the relationship. The Father loves the Son and wants to be with him and be known to him. The Father doesn't hold the mistakes, the debauchery, the rebellion, and the shame against the Son. The Son has come to himself and knows now where he is meant to be. The Son has come home, learning the depths of the Father's love for him. The elder son, of course, resents the grace extended to the younger son. The elder son has been living with the Father all the time, but not really living with him. He's been under the same roof, but he's been aloof, far off. His priority has been on what he's got now, the Father, or not got now, the Father. The elder son exclaims, "All this time I've been with you, and you haven't even thrown me a party for my friends." The elder son doesn't care for the younger son. He's not willing to rejoice in his return. This is such a powerful parable of Jesus. Where are you in this story? Are you like the elder son? Resentful? Resenting what others get, how some people seem to have every blessing? Concerned about what you lack? Are you resentful of others being given grace, extended forgiveness? Wanting them to get punished rather than be loved and forgiven? Or are you like the younger son? I suspect most of us here this morning, upstanding residents of the Somerset Hills of New Jersey, are not living dissolute lives of debauchery. There is a part of us that cares too much what other people think of us to go that far. But in this season of Lent, when the church calls us to look within, might we not find that we like to mix just a little bit of desolate living in here and there? A little self-indulgence, so long as we keep our reputation. Might there be a little bit of that rebellious spirit within all of us that wants what we want right now? We may not be off spending all our money on desolate living, but it's all too easy to live life focused on various things that we think we want, things that enhance our reputation in the community, things that make us look good, things that make us feel good. It's easy to just do what we ourselves want and desire, when all along within us, there's a part, a spiritual part, that's just waiting to ask, "Is this all there is? Where is the meaning here? Where is the lasting fulfillment? Where are the noble things I'm destined for?" Are there ways you can identify with the younger son? I think if we're honest with ourselves, all of us have a part of the younger son within us. If so, when would you come to yourself and go home to your loving Heavenly Father who waits for you with outstretched arms? Or perhaps some of us here this morning might identify with the younger son in feeling unworthy. He comes back groveling, feeling broken, feeling ashamed, feeling like a failure. Do you ever feel low, thinking that God couldn't love you? Thinking that you're not worthy of God's time, hoping that just maybe you'll be forgiven, but never dreaming of anything more? I think, again, if we're honest with ourselves, there's a part of us that feels unworthy of God, like a speck in the vast expanse of interstellar space, not worth God's time or attention. And the startling word from Jesus this morning is to realize who you are. Jesus calls us down through the ages, right to this very moment this morning, and bids us to come to ourselves, to realize who you are, to realize the resentments you carry and let them go, to realize that there is no sin or mistake that you have ever made or could ever make that is greater than God's ability to forgive. To realize that you're not just forgiven. You're not just tolerated. You're not just accepted back. You are a precious child of your Heavenly Father. You, even you, are adored, are cherished. Your Heavenly Father delights in you. You are a child of the Most High with a seat in the heavenly places, and your Heavenly Father's looking for you, calling for you, waiting to celebrate that you've come home. Parts of us are good at forgetting, good at rationalizing, good at self-deception. We can convince ourselves under certain circumstances that even our left arm is our mother's arm. We can even debate it, give reasons to prove it. We're so easily we forget who we are and whose we are. With such an amazing love reaching out to us, with such an awesome destiny awaiting us, with such a loving Heavenly Father wanting a relationship with us, how could we not respond? Those parts of you lost in desolate living, those parts of you focusing on self, those parts of you doing everything else during the week except remembering God, those parts of you that are broken, ashamed, lowly, let those parts of you come to yourself this morning. Come to realize the person you are. You are beloved, child of God, whose soul longs for nobler, meaningful purposes, those for which God has created you. Come to yourself. Forgive yourself. Live each day connected to your Father. Accept the Father's forgiveness and his loving embrace right now, this very day. Come home. To him be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever. Amen.
Please rise while we are